Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
When we think about bispecific antibodies, we're really referring to hitting multiple cytokines within the major cytokines that drive atopic dermatitis. This includes IL-4, IL-13, IL-31, IL-22, TSLP, and interferon gamma.
Today, Dr. Shirari Imbunic joined the podcast to discuss bispecific biologics and atopic dermatitis, opportunities, challenges, and clinical implications in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hi, my name is Mona Shariari. I'm Associate Clinical Professor of Dermatology at Yale University and the Associate Director of Clinical Trials at CCD Research.
Hi, I'm Christopher Bunick, Associate Professor of Dermatology and in the Program in Translational Biomedicine at the Yale University School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut.
So thanks for joining me, Chris, for this conversation.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Today, we're going to be talking about the evolving role of bispecific biologics in the management of atopic dermatitis with a focus on the emerging science, clinical decision-making, and practical implications for dermatology practice. So why don't we just start off, because I know that this is an area of focus for you and you've done a lot of research in this arena.
Well, let's start by understanding that there are not any bispecifics currently approved for atopic dermatitis. Some people may think dupilumab is a bispecific, but actually it's monotargeted to IL-4 receptor alpha. When we think about bispecific antibodies, we're really referring to hitting multiple cytokines within the major cytokines that drive atopic dermatitis. This includes IL-4, IL-13, IL-31, IL-22, TSLP, and interferon gamma. There are multiple cytokines that drive atopic dermatitis, but the current monotargeted biologics only hit one or two of those cytokines. What bi- and tri-specific biologics are trying to do is to have a more comprehensive inhibition of those cytokines that are driving atopic dermatitis. The potential benefit of that is better atopic dermatitis disease control because you're able to hit type 1, type 2, and type 3 cytokines potentially and be able to cover that heterogeneity that underlies not only the pathophysiologic driving of atopic dermatitis, but the clinical heterogeneity of the morphologic lesions that we see in clinic.
Yeah, I think you actually brought up a really important point because what we currently have from an unmet need standpoint is we have these targeted biologics, which to your point, target one or two cytokines. And then we have our JAK inhibitors that target a broad array. And we want something kind of in between that can maybe give us the safety profile of a biologic, but also hit more targets. And I think that's where these drugs have become more appealing in the current arena. But I think you and I have talked about this before. It's not as simple as putting these different drugs into a bowl, mixing it all together and coming out with a bispecific or trispecific. So what are some of the challenges that go into the development and have we had any ones that just haven't made it?
That's a really good point. It's not as simple as just mixing these together. In fact, there's over 15, maybe upwards of 20 bi- and trispecific biologics in development. Right now, we don't know which combination is going to work best. It's not as simple as just saying, let's combine an IL-4 receptor alpha blocker with an IL-31 receptor blocker. We don't know that that combination is necessarily going to work because that particular bispecific drug is going to have its own pharmacokinetic and pharmacodynamic properties, the size of the molecule, tissue penetration. There are numerous factors in just developing an antibody that come into play here. When we're thinking about targeting with these bi- and trispecifics, you can mix and match, but we don't know which are necessarily going to work out the best. There are abilities to target different receptors, such as IL-4 receptor alpha, IL-31 receptor, and then you also can just target the cytokines, whether it's IL-4, IL-13, IL-31. Then we have kind of those non-Th2 cytokines that we have to consider, whether that's IL-22 or maybe even IL-17A and F. One of the therapies that we currently do have some phase one data on is a bispecific called galvokimig that combines an IL-13 targeting bispecific that also hits IL-17A and F. And this has been really enlightening because actually The EASI 90 response at week 12 was 47%, really high for a biologic. This gives a lot of encouragement that this approach of combining the correct targets in a bi or trispecific can actually lead to higher efficacy. It can move that ceiling of efficacy that we currently are stuck at with monotargeted biologics, and also hopefully deliver on safety.
And the interesting thing with that is, like with some of our current cytokine-specific agents, you may not necessarily target the heterogeneity of disease that you see. But with Galvo in particular, you're targeting more than just that Th2 pathway. So I think that's promising for our patients who may have disease that has influences from not only Th2 cytokines, but also Th17, Th1 cytokines, because let's face it, AD is complex, and there's so much heterogeneity that goes into it. Now, one thing we all wonder about is, what is the safety of this class? Because we're not too familiar with what these bispecific and trispecifics are going to hold. Obviously, long-term safety data is going to be relevant, but are there any safety signals that we've seen in early development that are concerning or even reassuring?
It's too soon to know fully what the safety profiles are going to be of all of these bi and trispecifics. What we do know from the galvokimig data, that's the combination of a tralokinumab-like epitope of IL-13 with a bimekizumab epitope, which is the IL-17 ANF. What we know from the safety of that phase 1 bispecific was that there were some cases of esophageal pain and a case of hemorrhagic diarrhea. What that means as we move into phase 2 or 3, really hard to know. But the reality is that we saw in that particular therapy a really good clinical outcome that supports the molecular rationale that targeting kind of the Th17 pathway in atopic dermatitis does in fact matter for patients. And that's really important. One of the other things that's really important about understanding bi and trispecifics when it comes to safety is some of the things that we've observed with the monotargeted biologics, such as, for example, some of the paradoxical head and neck atopic dermatitis that can occur in some patients on dupilumab. That's thought to be IL-22 driven. And a number of the bispecifics actually incorporate IL-22 into that algorithm, that treatment algorithm. Is that going to be able to reduce the complications of paradoxical head and neck atopic dermatitis? Is combining with either IL-22 or, say, IL-17 going to lower the risk of developing arthralgias that we see with some of the monotargeted biologics? Are we going to have lower conjunctivitis risk? These are all questions that we don't have the answers to, but in theory, by learning what happens with the monotargeted biologics, we can actually better develop or choose the right mixes and matches of the bi and trispecifics to try to have a more comprehensive therapeutic approach for our atopic dermatitis patients that sort of more closely mimics that comprehensive shutdown of the major cytokines that we do see with the oral JAK inhibitors.
I think everything you described makes this a very exciting proposition for the future. And I think before these bispecifics and trispecifics came to be, in our clinical practice, we were kind of doing that. We were mixing and matching maybe an IL-13 targeting biologic with a JAK inhibitor, putting two biologics together, IL-13, maybe an IL-31 receptor. Because I think in our minds, we're like, you know what, there may be some potential there, but we don't know what the implications are. And when you look at the labels of these drugs, you're really not supposed to be combining them. However, if we have an agent that was designed to target those molecules, I think myself, I'd feel more confident doing that. But given the toolbox of agents that we have, where do you think these bispecifics and trispecifics may be positioned? Are we talking first line, second line, treatment failure? Do you have any thoughts?
I think it really depends on the level of efficacy. If they move that efficacy bar higher, I could envision them becoming first line, right? We all want therapies for our patients that are highly efficacious and highly safe. It really will depend on the phase 3 data. But there are many strategies out there. We've had one bispecific already just have their program stopped because that one didn't hit that goal of raising the standard of care. I'm pretty sure others will. We just talked about galvokimig and its data that sort of did seem to initially suggest of elevation of standard of care. But in the end, the therapies that will win out and be potentially positioned for first line are going to be those that can elevate the standard of care of the patients. In the end, it's all about the patient. And that's what we're trying to do here. Can we better control the heterogeneity of the signaling that drives atopic dermatitis by targeting more than one target with an antibody?
Well, I have to say thank you, Chris, so much. This is clearly an evolving and important area in atopic dermatitis, and I think there's so much more on the horizon that we can be excited about, but I really appreciate your thoughts. I always learn something new.
It's been my pleasure.
And thank you to our viewers for joining us.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining this episode of the PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup or just ask, "What's my Flash Briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Dr. Shirari and Bunick. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.